You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Saying when we ask the Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to look at this important petition that the Lord taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, dealing with and addressing our wills in light of God's revealed will. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Please find us on Facebook, and we love when you send us a note. It helps us to gauge how hearers are listening to this program and how they're being blessed by the program. So thanks, dear listeners, for taking the time to do that. Well, today on this Friday session, we have Pastor Mike Brown, again from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. So today, Mike, we come to the particular petition. Last time we spent the whole program talking about the kingdom of God and what we mean when we say thy kingdom come. And that would be a helpful program for you to go back to the website and download as we look there in some depth about the meaning of the kingdom. But today, the natural sort of transition, at least the one that the Lord ordered for us for a particular reason here, is to then pray in light of his coming kingdom, his rule in our lives, his rule in the church as the church is being built strong, that we ourselves are now submitting to that rule. And so therefore, the third request, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? The Heidelberg says, help us and all men, everyone, to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. In some ways, it's just the simplicity of that is so beautiful, isn't it? We are children. We're praying to the Lord. We are his children. Children like to backtalk. Children like to question things. And we're dealing here in this particular petition with the issue of the will. Do you think, Mike, we take seriously the problem when we come to prayer of how fallen our wills are and what we then can push on the Lord, which may not be his will? So my point is that we can manipulate the Lord with our own wills when we've not come with the proper mindset. First, that I'm asking the Lord to really, and this is the crucial thing Jesus said, to deny ourselves. We're really expressing that self-denial when we're asking that our wills would be rejected and that we would be pursuing his will.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really the key issue with prayer, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we tend to think of prayer like going to a genie in a lamp, mm-hmm. and you're rubbing the lamp, asking for a wish. And so you come to God and say, give me my three wishes. Now, it's true that the Lord tells us to ask and seek and knock. He wants us to come to him as children coming to a father. However, there's something greater happening in prayer. I am not bending God's will. His will cannot be bent. There is nothing that can bend God's will.
Right.
Rather, he is bending my will. When I come to him, even with my requests, what's happening is he's gently bending my will to conform to him. And that's why the Lord's Prayer starts with these petitions that focus on God rather than starting with petitions that focus with me. In other words, we start by saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You glorify your name in us. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice that there's three petitions there that Jesus taught us to pray before we ever even ask for anything. So we're not just coming with our will saying, I want this, I want that, please gimme, gimme, gimme. But rather we start the way Jesus taught us to pray. The way Jesus taught us to pray is we start with, Lord, your will be done. May your will be done. May you bend my will to conform to yours. And we know what that will is because it's been revealed in his word.
Absolutely. We're going to come back to that issue of the word, but I think it's so important, something you said to capitalize on. We are, I mean, there's a reason our reformers said our hearts are idol factories and we are constantly trying to exert our own wills. And I think this is a crucial point in dealing with the issue of prayer. You know, just to give an example of what you said and the problem of our own will, you know, it's interesting in 1 Peter when he talked about prayer, but he also talked about the responsibilities of a husband and a wife, a husband to love his wife. Listen to the statement. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I think that's an interesting statement, that ultimately what hinders prayers is when we are pushing our will upon God. The Lord is calling us first and foremost to reject and to put aside our wills. And haven't we seen, Mike, and we've all done this. This is not us throwing tomatoes here. We've all tried to push our will upon God and then justify our actions as if God accepts them with something that is directly contrary to his will.
Yeah. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I've been praying about this. And then they make a decision based on the fact that they have made lots of prayers, but the Lord hasn't necessarily answered that prayer, or has, you know, his will that is revealed in his word is contrary to what the person wants, and they feel justified in making their decision simply because they have invested time in prayer. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what you are praying for is right. We have to go to God's word to see what his revealed will is.
Right. And that's the crucial point we want to get across today on this program. When it comes to, you know, not our wills, but your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're rejecting our own, but we're also asking the Lord to obey his will. Now, the question comes up, well, how do I know the will of God? That's a big question that people have. I had one person years ago, a parishioner, Mike, who would come, and all the time he was so stuck on, I can't determine God's will for my life. And that so beat him up, that had so frustrated him, that I said to him at one point, first things first here, you need to go to what is God's expressed will for your life.
That's right.
In his word. And then we'll talk about these other things that you're worried about. And that's where we have to go back to, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
First, this presupposes a knowledge of his will, which means that we have to have a good understanding of his will from what he has revealed in the Bible.
That's right. And God's will is very, very clear. I mean, every command that he gives us, that is his will for our life. The first thing I say right before I read the law each Lord's Day in worship is, let's listen to God's will for our lives. And so as we hear those imperatives, as God tells us, this is what I want from you. I want you to offer your body a living sacrifice. I want you to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I want you to pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. God even says his will for our lives is that we suffer for the sake of Christ.
Right.
So he's told us what his will is. Now, when we pray, let's think of some, like, a practical example, Chris. If somebody, let's say there's a single person who really wants to be married, and well, what is God's will for their life? There's no verse in the Bible that says, Sally is the one, but it does say that a believer can only marry another believer. You must marry in the Lord. So if you meet a girl who's not a believer, well, she's not qualified for you to marry. She's not in that category. If she is a believer, well, now it just comes down to wisdom. Right. Do you like this person? Is this somebody that you would want to spend the rest of your life with? But she is eligible as a wife if she is a believer, because God has expressed that will. So there's always an element of wisdom with regard to the will of God, once we see that God's will has been expressed, we must follow that, and our prayers must conform to that, and we need to ask him to do those very things. Lord, please sanctify me, continue to sanctify me, even though God has already promised that, because that's his will for our lives. There's going to be other areas, though, in the particulars, like where should I live, which job should I take, that's going to require a certain amount of wisdom, and in those cases, it's God's will for our life that we pray for wisdom and ask him to give us the wisdom that we need to make those decisions.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think the example you used is good to even take a little further and say, well, let's say somebody comes and has that issue, and then let's say they're dating a non-believer. Well, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. And yet they're doing something flatly against his revealed will. And they're looking for the things that God hasn't said in his word to find answers to when they haven't dealt with the most basic, plain thing that has been revealed, that they shouldn't be doing that. So again, priorities here right. are really important in this prayer. And that's what we're essentially asking, that our wills would be bent to the Lord's and that we would take the path of self-denial of our
right.
own wills.
Right.
And that's hard. No one says that's easy. That's a basic posture of prayer. Why are we on our knees?
Right. You know, and that's, I mean, you've really hit it when you talk about priorities, because when we're praying to God and we're asking him for his will to be done, essentially what we are saying is, Lord, order my priorities according to your word. Make the priorities of my life conform to your will as it is revealed
right.
in the word of God. And that's the problem, isn't it? We often want to rearrange our priorities according to what we want. I mean, our sinful hearts desire, they want what they want. And oftentimes we set our devotion, our affections on things that God has expressly said, this is not for you. And we desire those things. So when we come to him, we have to say, Lord, please change my heart. Make my heart conform. Make it find contentment in you and in your law, in the things that you have revealed that are in fact good for your creatures and for the people whom you have redeemed. So we are asking the Lord to rearrange our priorities. And then when we rise from our knees, we need to trust him for the grace from heaven that we can in fact do these things. Because as he says, as Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is, I can obey the Lord's will. I can be content in my circumstances. I can seek to blossom as a Christian wherever God has planted me, even if there are certain things that I really desire and he has not yet given. I can still go and live the Christian life because he will supply me with the grace that I need.
See, this is really helpful. I think too, you know, we see today all these kind of glorious statements that you just quoted. I can do all things through Christ. I see that now in workout clothes at the gym. Right. I can do all things, you know, and I think this gives us a proper perspective in light of what you just said, Mike, of those verses that says, look, if you ask anything in my name, that I will do for you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the revealed will. When you are going to the Lord in the posture of humility, asking him that your life would be brought in line with what he has revealed, he will give that to you. He's going to help you with that. He's going to provide that for you. He's given you all sorts of means and resources to help you bring your life into conformity to his will. But that's not saying whatever on a whim I want.
Right.
I can go do whatever,
right.
or he will give me whatever I want. That's not what those verses are saying. And then you see how sad it is that people have used prayer like, and used God like a fortune cookie, and approached him even in the health and wealth movement with this kind of approach to God. Like you said at the beginning, that he's some sort of magic genie. Now, Mike, I think you mentioned something else that's helpful in this light, that when we do come to the Lord in prayer and we don't know on specific things, I think just a little bit more exploration on that, because we all struggle with that. Something that I think you mentioned is really helpful, there's wisdom that the Lord gives us. There is a wisdom section in Scripture that tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 that in the posture of prayer, what should we do? We should trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding. There it is, we're denying our will again. In all our ways, acknowledging him, and he shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's an encouragement there and a wisdom verse saying that in that posture of prayer, I may not know what to do in this particular circumstance, but I acknowledge that the Lord is the Lord of my life. I acknowledge He's wise in all things and ask Him to make my path clear and straight. He may do that through opening doors and closing doors, but you shouldn't expect an audible voice from Him, as people say today, well, God told me to go do this, as we often hear.
Right. And also, as we're asking Him for wisdom, we have to distinguish wisdom from want. Because, you know, a lot of times I think we can confuse that. We can say, well, here's what I really want.
Right.
I want the house that I can't afford. And so we pray, Lord, please give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom. And then my want is, I'm so overwhelmed by my want that I just say, well, I've prayed for wisdom. And so I'm just going to go ahead and buy that house that I can't afford.
Right.
You know, and I've seen people do this before. And then they really ruin themselves financially, or put themselves, their families in a more difficult situation. Yes, we need to pray for wisdom. As James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. We have to understand that as we ask for wisdom, there are times when we need to ask other believers. We need to maybe ask the elders in our church, or talk to our pastor, and pray for, as we're praying for wisdom, ask for that wisdom now to be applied, and get opinions from other people. So, for example, let's say I have the opportunity to move out of my town to another town because it's a job opportunity where I'm going to make more money. I've got a bigger house. However, there's not a good church anywhere to be found. And so it's real tempting to uproot my family from the town that I'm in, because we are in a solid church where Christ is preached, the sacraments are administered, we have loving care from the elders. But now I would be moving to a different city where there is no good church around. Let's say the most solid church around is 3 or 4 hours away, but I'm going to make a lot of money. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what is the wise thing to do? If there's a good church there, then it really just comes down to, well, which one do you want? Because if you stay in the town where you are already in one church, the Lord's going to bless you a certain kind of way. If you move to another town where there's also another good church, and you know your kids are going to grow up there, then the Lord's going to bless you in a different kind of way. And it really just comes down to, you know, some basic wisdom. But let's say going to that other city, there's no good church. Is it really God's will that you be separated from a good congregation where you're going to hear?
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, why would you do this? It's just coming down to financial gain. You know, you're really just seeking to go live in Moab as Naomi and her husband wanted to, you know, leaving Judah just to get financial gain, when in fact it's going to bring harm and damage spiritually upon your family. So there is where we may really want that, because we see it as an opportunity for us to advance. When we're asking God for wisdom, we have to ask Him for the grace to receive His will and His wisdom as He gives it from heaven.
See, that's really important. I mean, that scenario you just described, I've come across, I don't know how many times in the course of my ministry. That is such a good practical one to hold on to. I think it can kind of help frame how we think, because I often hear the kind of pious line in the midst of that consideration. Well, wherever God leads, wherever God's going to lead me, I'm going to go do that. And at times I gently have to say to them, I can already tell you what God is leading you to do. You're just not submitting to that.
Right.
And that's a really important point, because there we see how we are exerting our own wills over God. And then how in the world are our prayers going to be? That's why I said prayers hindered, properly framed, when that's what we're doing to Him.
Right.
That's pushing our agenda and our own will upon Him. Listen, the Christian life is sacrifice. The Christian life is calling us to count the cost. That's not going to be easy. Right. You're going to have to make things living in a sinful culture, make decisions that the world would not make. And they would say, you're a fool to make, but you're doing this precisely because you are learning and being taught as a Christian to reject your own will, that sanctification.
Right.
And that's a really important point I think we have to emphasize. I appreciate that example.
Yeah, God's will, I mean, as He tells us, if we're going to get real practical here, as He tells us in His word, His will for our life is that we be sanctified, okay? And what's the primary means He uses to sanctify us? the preaching of his word, the administration of his sacraments, life together with his people in a local congregation where Christ is proclaimed. We need to be in a place like that. Now, we might say, well, I'd like to go help plant a church someplace. Okay, and then explore that. Go talk with your pastor, talk to your missions committee and your denomination, you know, see what you can do. But don't use that as an idea that seeks to justify making a bad decision that's going to bring spiritual harm on your family. You know, really think this through. Why? What are my motives here? Are my kids going to grow up bouncing from church to church with not having any roots down in the ground? Or are they going to grow up in a healthy situation where they're hearing Christ proclaimed, they're being catechized, there's a continuity for them week after week, and I'm working, I'm providing for my family because it is God's will for my life that I work and provide for my family. So we need to think through these things that, you know, and then ask for contentment.
Right.
So often when we come to God in prayer, you know, we really are discontent with our circumstances. And loved ones, whatever your spiritual problem is now in your present circumstances, if you think that if I could just change my circumstances, things would be better, you're just going to bring those same spiritual yep. problems into the next situation.
Absolutely.
And you need to remember that as you're going to the Lord in prayer and asking him for things.
And I think that leads us to the final point here in this particular Lord's Day, that the framers here of the Heidelberg understood that there's another thing we're asking of the Lord, and I think you just already touched on it, but it's this: help everyone carry out the work he is called to do as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. What a beautiful thing. I mean, think about it. When you get these pictures in Ezekiel of the angels up in heaven, whenever the chariot moves, they are moving. They're doing whatever the will of the Lord is. They're doing it obediently. They're doing it reverently. They're doing it in a joyful way because it's God's will. It's the right will. Whenever you're in his will, you're doing that which is pleasant and good and right. Whenever you're doing your own, you of course are experiencing the consequences that you bring down often on your own head because you've chosen something against his will. But in this particular case, Mike, you emphasized contentment. Notice here that the Heidelberg really emphasizes work and vocation in this regard. All of us, the Lord has placed in a particular place of work and vocation. We have a calling in that regard. So what is our attitude toward the work that he has given us to do? How do we exemplify that we are bending our wills to his will in the very work that we do? Contentment really factors into that, because I can be a miserable person in my own work, not giving myself, realizing that everything I do as a Christian is called to bring glory to God, whether even I eat or drink.
That's right.
And so our wills here are very important in regard to our common vocations, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, we should really point out here that there is no such thing as a perfect dream job situation, even in your dream job, because Chris, you and I have our dream jobs in a sense.
Right.
You know, we've been very blessed, and the Lord has provided us with the very things that we prayed for a long time, to preach the gospel and to pastor his people. And I'm very thankful for the opportunities the Lord has given us. But there's still things that are difficult, and that we can very easily focus upon the difficulties in our situation, whatever our job may be, and think, if only I could, ... get out of this situation and move to something else. Remember, loved ones, that the world has fallen. And at the beginning, when God cursed the ground, he told Adam, it's going to be in the sweat of your brow now that you go out and earn a living. And so every job is going to be difficult. How is it that we glorify God? How is it that we do his will in our jobs? We have to work to benefit other people. We need to take our time, our efforts, our abilities, our talents, and everything, use that, sanctify that to the Lord, and benefit other people, invest in the things that he has given us to do for other people, and he is glorified by that. Mm-hmm. You can do that right now in your job where you have a difficult boss. Paul addresses that. If you have a harsh master, you're still to submit to him and submit to the Lord and blossom right there where God has planted you. As you are praying, thy will be done, will you do those things that God has commanded you? Do all those things and seek to bear the fruit of the Spirit by focusing on Christ and obeying his commands. And you will blossom right there and do the will of the Lord in the very place that God has planted you.
you say, how do I do a job when my circumstances are so awful, so bad? You know, there was a book years ago I read, and it was one of my favorite books. It was Martin Lloyd-Jones' book on spiritual depression. And he treats Philippians 4, 6, and 7 there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, make your requests known of God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lloyd-Jones said, you may face many what he called tyranny of circumstances in the course of your life. God has not promised to change those. But he does promise when you come to him prayerfully with worship and thanksgiving, praising him, that he will do something. He will set a garrison around your heart and your mind so that he may change your perspective so that you can now do this with an enlightened response to the glory of God and that clear conscience to his praise and glory. Well, we hope that helps today understand what you mean and what you're asking when you say that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Find all these programs on Abounding Grace Radio, agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. Always thankful to have the excellent insights of Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee to join us on the program. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face to face in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.